Welcome to MGO Podcast 13.15. Well, could have gone better. So I just spent some money unwisely. How are you?
I am way less tan than you are, so you don't seem that unwise. I saw the videos of people down there, or like we got on in like WTK with Ira and like saw him in the sun, and I was like, maybe it'd be worth going down there. No. Zap tried to talk me into it the last minute. Very close to that.
It was, Miami is a strange place. It's, the next lot could be anything. It could be vacant. It could be a tiny house. It could be a giant apartment complex. It could be a strip club. Anything can go anywhere in that city. It could be an art museum, whatnot thing. Anyway.
Also way better than they have any right to be. Our sponsors. The MGO Podcast is sponsored by Underground Printing. Rishi and Ryan have been our biggest supporters from the start. They have 3 retail locations in Ann Arbor and offer thousands of University of Michigan athletic products. Check out utpmichiganapparel.com or find our stuff at mgoblogstore.com. We just put some new stuff on there. We also want to thank our associate sponsors, Peak Wealth Management, Homeshare Lending, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Michigan Law Grad, Human Element, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Signal Wire, From the Cheap Seats, which is the Sklar Brothers podcast, Team Fan Club, and Prentice 4M, which is where we usually are, but are not because of COVID right now.
So Georgia 34, Michigan 11 in a game that was never really competitive. Georgia comes out, scores a couple touchdowns early. Michigan able to respond with a field goal drive once they're down 17, but just never really felt like a football game. Felt like a exhibition in which Michigan was not competitive, really.
Yeah, what was the moment for you? Because I know
the first play, they ran for 9 yards, and I'm like, oh, that is a bad sign. That is not good. And then, I mean, the real moment where I'm like, all right, let's pack this all up was when Michigan got a swing pass.
Mm-hmm.
Blake frickin' Corum caught man coverage. Ideal situation. And they ate a 2-yard tackle for a loss because Nakobe Dean is like, oh, I'm Devin Bush. Enjoy. At that point, I was like, goodbye. Checked out.
I didn't understand why that was our game plan. Like, we are the team that had Devin Bush. Like, if anyone should know what a Devin Bush is like somebody had to be in the room and be like, wait a minute. We seen what happens when people try to edge Devin Bush. This guy's the same player. Why are we doing this? Why is this our game plan?
Well, yeah, but you think you have like Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. Like you got the like at some point you got to try something. And like, you know, Blake Corum is graded out as a million billion percent on PFF and to you and one of the fastest guys in the country and electric playmaker guy, and then you gotta give him some at-bats, and you gave him an at-bat and it went very, very badly. But you gotta try, right?
Yeah.
Like, what else is working?
They didn't try the things we wanted them to. We wanted them to do traps and stuff. We wanted them to try to, like, you know, see if you can move the defensive tackles. I like trying to fight the tackles better than Nakobe Dean, and I mean, or go downfield. Yeah. Like, when they went downfield, it was either successful or, you know, we just missed or something. And, like, that's where Michigan got their plays.
You can't just take shots, like, all day, every day, right? You got to mix some stuff in. Like, I don't know.
Michigan State would say otherwise. you could take more than they took. That Michigan was out there trying to run their own. Michigan was trying to prove that they belonged. And offense, defense, they did not belong.
Well, I mean, we'll start talking about the offense, obviously. So if you look at this, I mean, just a crap fest, because like Hassan Haskins gets 9 carries in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Edwards gets 4. Blake Corum gets 3. Like they just didn't get any opportunities because Michigan couldn't really stay on the field. Like McNamara is completing most of his passes, but it's almost all short stuff. And like, I think 5.6 yards an attempt really kind of overstates where Michigan was finding themselves, because 42 of those came on a shot to Roman Wilson downfield, right?
Yeah.
So, like, most of Cade McNamara's completions are, I mean, going 3 or 4 yards. I mean, you can't work your way down the field with that, especially against a defense that's this good.
Well, I mean, some of the shots were there. I mean, there were things there that they missed. I mean, there were so many turnovers in this game. And several of them were just turnovers and turnover on downs were like, you know, they were close or just threw it right outside of Al's catch radius because he was a little sped up. But like early on, I think they probably wanted to run it the first play. Was that flea flicker? Because they set up like they were going to run it and then they got a false start and then they were backed up and then they got Cade broke out and they got the yards back. And then as soon as they had a first down again, they tried it again. So the flea flicker, they ended up getting the safety on Eric Al. And they were hoping to get that free shot, but the safety stays in. Well, it's still Eric Al versus a safety. And like that guy's a good player, but that's kind of what you have to do to beat them. That's what Alabama did to them. They got those one-on-one matchups, and the one-on-one matchup is the best you're going to get. So like if you're sitting around and waiting for something easy to open up against Georgia, it's not. Because the way they play defense is they let their front do their work, right? They got N'Kobe Dean, so they don't really need the safeties to come down and help that. So then the safeties are going to be back, which means you're going to have somebody covering everybody. And you need to take your shots.
I mean, they took their shots. They got as you mentioned, the safety stayed back and they had to check down on the flea flicker. And they also they took the shot to Wilson. I just don't know if they really had like the confidence that they were going to be able to get away with that on a more regular basis because McNamara was under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You look at this team and you're like, this is probably a pretty good defense. And then you're like, but maybe and could be. And then it's like, no, this is just a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
That's what Michigan went up against. And that's what they found. And McNamara had a real bad throw at the beginning of the second half. And that was kind of like the other nail in the coffin where they actually drive the field and then kind of put up a what was that throw? Because they're running a double move against zone and the guy's just not going anywhere. And Baldwin gives up on the route because he's like, no, nobody's going to throw this. He's like, all right, this is covered.
Yeah.
I'm out. And then McNamara throws it anyway. And like, yeah, you can fault Baldwin for not giving incredible maximum effort on that play, but also just like the decision there was just mind boggling. And so you have a lot of people who are going to talk about this eventually, so we might as well have it now. JJ McCarthy comes in the second half, hits a couple of strikes, has a couple of drops, but they're the drops where it's like he's throwing that really hard and these folks aren't necessarily used to it. Only 7-17, but 7.7 yards an attempt, throws a touchdown, uses his legs successfully, 4 rushes, 24 yards, and pretty much everybody in the Michigan fan base is like, okay, this guy has the ceiling that we need to compete with these teams.
Sure. And I mean, you were looking at next year and you got like a long run up. I think almost all of Michigan's first opponents have new coaches next year. So it's going to be kind of an easy ride to the Big Ten season, at least maybe even into October, where if you're going to make that change, that's when to do it. I hate ruining young quarterbacks. Like I get like throwing JJ out there and seeing like if he can give you a spark, but I mean, I didn't expect him to bring us back. At that point, it was like, you know, I guess let's see what we have. But it was not like, okay, this is over for Cade and now it's JJ time. It was like, if we're going to compete with Georgia, we're going to need a JJ McCarthy at full strength, at the other end of his career, right? That's what I got out of that whole, all those escapades.
Well, I mean, he's been coming in all year and doing things that McCarthy can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that McNamara can't do. Like, McNamara can't run like McCarthy. McCarthy has a crazy big arm where it's just like that throw to Baldwin early in the year where it's like, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what you're going to get from him on a down-to-down basis because he hasn't really been out there enough. But just in terms of like who is going to be the guy who gives you the best chance to beat Ohio State again next year, it's probably McCarthy. And it's probably something that if McNamara is convinced of that, he's going to bounce. So it's going to be a juggling period here where Michigan is going to have an open quarterback competition and see what happens. But I think if, like, the best possible outcome for Michigan is that McCarthy wins that, right?
Sure. Sure. Because you got to figure out some way of having two quarterbacks, though, because teams are going to, you're going to lose your quarterback sometime in the season. You're going to need your backup quarterback at some point. And we've seen how hard it is to have that, right? To, like, teams right now, like, if a guy transfers, like, a minute earlier than that, someone else just transferred out, right? Like, every team's going to get their quarterback, and then you basically have a freshman, like a McCarthy, that you're bringing along at that point. And that was just an ideal situation for Michigan because McCarthy did not expect to start this year. He knew it was wild. He knew he had to get ready. But, like, by next year, you're going to expect some things, right? Like, that's the sophomore Henny. That's the that's when he's out there to compete. And I don't expect McNamara to be able to keep up. I want them both. I think that a team really needs two. And, you know, if McNamara is not going to have a major NFL career coming up, I can't imagine there's going to be better situations unless he just really wants to play all the time, right?
Well, that is something that people do want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, can you get another year out of him? Because, you know, next year is his fourth year. Graduate, then he can move on. He was only off. He had freshman eligibility this year because he redshirted and he had COVID. So, or, like, he had, you know, we had the COVID season. So he was technically still a freshman this year. So next year he's a sophomore. He has 2 years to play after he graduates. That, I mean, that would be my offseason focus, to be like, look, man, we need you. Like, we can't go into the season without two guys that we trust. We're not handing the ball to McCarthy. He's going to have to earn it. But, you know, I think Kate saw it like we did, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's really a whole lot else to talk about, just because this, I mean, Michigan kind of got stomped flat in this game. It's nice to see that Roman Wilson can still get open against these guys.
Yeah.
He is that fast. Donovan Edwards, too, he had a 43-yard catch. And so he just kind of, I mean, Anthony was kind of like a double move or a bust from Georgia. It's not like he was really beating the guy stride for stride there, but it's just, you know, I mean, it's really hard to say a whole lot about the rest of this game just because, I mean, four carries for Edwards, three carries for Corum, nine for Haskins. It's just like, well, what's going on?
I mean, there were a lot of moments from the offense where guys got sped up, where, like, Haskins had the bounce where he'd actually gotten N'Kobe Dean to jump inside, and all he had to do was bounce around and just kind of got sped up and went to a gap where he didn't need to go. Or, like, when they ran stretch, like, there was a gap, a cutback lane opening up that he didn't get to. There were plays that were there, but I think that, like, they needed to get there and need to see what this kind of defense is like. Because if this team's ever going to win a championship, a national championship, you're going to have to beat a defense similar to Georgia's. Georgia's might actually be, like, you know, one of the greatest defenses of all time. But they're going to have to face a defense of that caliber. And it was good for them to see it, for them to, like, understand that, like, okay, here's what we need to do. They're going to get in the film, and they're going to be able to understand what it takes to play against them, because they didn't have necessarily that confidence. They got sped up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's all there is to say about the offense. Let's take a break, come back, talk about the defense.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting U of M apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing in one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com. It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, trying to collect sizes and payments for a family reunion, or, you know, ordering a whole bunch of shirts with your Kickstarter, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with their easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, wasting time trying to sort out the order. They'll set it up, you can just sit back and relax. They'll even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit them at any of their convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirt.com.
Hey, it's Nick Hopwood, founder and president at Peak Wealth Management. We have a lot in common. We both went to Michigan. We're both huge fans, but I'm concerned about how much time you're spending on Michigan football recruiting. This could be time spent with me poring over your cash flow and Roth conversion strategy. How are these Roth conversions going to get done with you spending all your time and energy on MGoBlog looking at the next five-star recruits? Hey, all kidding aside, if you're addicted to MGoBlog and you want to outsource some of your financial planning to an expert, consider us, peakwm.com/MGoBlog. At Peak, we work with people in a variety of situations. Some of our clients are young professionals looking to optimize their savings and investments. For young people, time is the key. Some of our clients are super affluent trying to figure out when they can retire. Some are high net worth retirees looking for a second opinion on how their money's working for them. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages
approximately $100,000.
It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
This is Matt Demrest, the owner of Homeshore Lending. We're a local mortgage company here to help you purchase with confidence and refinance with ease. People don't get mortgages very often, so it can be confusing. We'll break down every single line item so that it all makes sense. And at the end of the day, if we're not giving you the best deal, we'll tell you to go with the other company. We're here to offer our simple mortgage guidance.
This is Seth Fisher from MGoBlog. Over the years, we've sent dozens of readers to use Homeshore Lending, and every review that's come back has been raving. I myself used them to refinance after doing our original loan through our bank. I was amazed how much smoother the process was for our complicated loan. Brian used them, you should use them too.
Finding out whether it makes sense or not to refinance or getting pre-approved to buy a new home is easy. Head over to homeshorelending.com. That's H-O-M-E-S-U-R-E lending.com/mgoblog to find out more. Or call us at 734-531-9950. That's 734-531-9950. I've got two of my favorite people here with me. Kind of an annual tradition. Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
11.
Colby, how about you?
9.
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
NMLS number 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
In the summer of 16, was it love or nicotine that made us mellow on the 31st? It was penny paradise, just a pretty little lie, and it hit me. I saw you hand in hand, cold harbor line. Never take it easy on the PDA. I don't miss you, least not that way. But someone better want me like that someday. Shoulder to shoulder, smile with the bricks and shine. But you weren't that kind.
So the defense was obviously the more disappointing unit. They come out, they just kind of get stomped from the start. Like, Georgia goes down the field, scores twice in a row, and then Michigan gives up a short field goal on the third drive. All of those were long drives. Stetson Bennett averages 10 yards an attempt. The rush game averages 5.4. We have a number of instances in this game where Michigan gets their linebackers isolated against, you know, James Cook or Bowers, and just get nuked, basically. Pretty disappointing, because Michigan, like we were talking in the previews, that like this could be a scheme win. Like, if Michigan's able to scheme up some stuff that Georgia hasn't seen, put guys in some wrong gaps and fix some of their talent deficiencies by being smarter, instead Georgia comes out and does what we were hoping Michigan would do to Georgia, right? To Michigan,
right? Yeah, I mean, you give teams that much time to prepare. Like, one of the things that Michigan is good about is that, like, they're a tough defense to prepare for. Like, part of the idea of going to bringing in McDonald, going with a lot more NFL concepts, having a lot of different coverages, is that it's hard to prepare for that team in a week, and they might show you a couple different things, or you might get a different player out there, which kind of messes up the scouting, and you've only had a week to prepare and college. You don't have a full week, right? You still have other things going on. When you give them a whole bowl practice and a vacation to prepare for it, they really scouted everything that we know about Michigan's defense. I was like impressed and upset about how well Georgia just knew, right? They're like, okay, we're going to put two tight ends in the field. We're going to get Jalen Harrell in this look against our running back, and that's, or our tight end. And that's just going to be a win, right? Harrell, that was something we talked about beforehand. If that matchup happens, that's trouble. They saw, you know, Vincent Gray is going to come down if he sees run action from high, and that's the way you can get over the top of him. And, you know, they scored two on Vincent Gray, both of them with some sort of play action. They saw that, you know, Junior Colson is athletic, but not athletic enough to keep up with everybody, right? And take some wrong steps. So what they did is they wrong stepped him, and they got two touchdowns on him. They had a scouted to a T.
Hey.
So this George is good, right? Like this is
yeah.
This is what happens when you face a team that's that good, right? You it comes down to the players because you just don't. If you have weaknesses and you give a team like Georgia 3 weeks, they were not like a bad offense. Their offense wasn't on the level of their defense, but it was like number three in S&P, right? Like this is a good offense with a lot of blue chip players all over the place. I guess the most disappointing thing was was Ojabo couldn't really take advantage of some of the one-on-one matchups he got, but I don't know. That doesn't really translate to next year. They ran away from Hutchinson like we expected them to. As soon as they shut down a little bit and they weren't attacking and they went off the game plan and Michigan adjusted in the second half, they actually didn't get a whole lot. Like Michigan got a couple three and outs in the second half where I thought that like we'd adjusted to the things they were doing. I don't know, man. Like this was the place where Michigan's talent was just not up to the level where they could do the things they want to do, right? They want to use that outside linebacker as an edge rusher and as a guy to cover tight ends. Well, you have one of the best tight ends in the country running downfield, and that guy just can't keep up with them. I mean, that's where we are.
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. They're recruiting, right?
Yeah,
they're going to get some players. They're going to have some players in the secondary that they don't have to leave alone all the time. And that's going to change the dynamic a lot. Like, that's what happened with the Ravens. They had better cornerbacks. They really just spent all their cap space on cornerbacks, right? I think they had three first-rounders. And then did the same thing with their safeties. So they had so many talented players in the secondary that they could leave those guys in single coverage, mess around with what they're doing all the time, have them playing different roles, and that gave them more guys to use in the box, and that's when they could really create pressures and make things hell on younger quarterbacks. Now, older quarterbacks still pick them apart, but that's a lot harder to find in college, even at this level. So, you know, I think that's where the defense is heading, and I'm not saying I'm coming away like that disappointed. Like, I knew that these were our weaknesses. I figured Georgia was going to find those weaknesses. They're a good team, and they did. I'm glad that Georgia and not Ohio State were the ones who did the best job of exploiting those.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate that it was such a reality check, but that's what it was, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And there's not a whole lot to say more about that game just because it was so obvious, right? Like, okay, this is who we are. But if we go back and be like, okay, what did we think this defense was going to be? We thought Vincent Gray was going to give up a lot more than two touchdowns to Georgia. We thought, you know, we didn't know what Ojabo was going to come out. We didn't think the defensive tackles would be so good that Georgia would be like, you know what, let's just attack them outside all the time. So there are things to take away. Junior Colson's not going to be a true freshman anymore next year. You know, they lose Hawkins, they lose Ross, but they have a lot of talent coming in. And you know, I think Moore looks like a guy who's going to be give us a good 4 years. Maybe has a higher ceiling than Hawkins did. And you know, the cornerback, the players coming here to play cornerback are going to change the way that they can play defense. You're not going to replace those ends. I mean, it's unfortunate that the last game for Aiden Hutchinson was not rampant, but like that was by design. And any smart football person knows that. So, yeah, you know, it's for what we got this year, it's a hell of a building year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, building year, they won the Big Ten. Like, it's not a building year.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, now they've been there, right? Now they feel like they can do it. Now they know what it feels like to play a team in the playoffs. Now they know what a team can find when they're scouted to death. And I mean, McDonald was in his first year coordinating ever, and he's 10 years younger than we are. There's a lot of upside here, right?
All right. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, come back, talk about some other stuff.
At Peak Wealth, we believe we can help you retire with confidence. It's Nick Hopwood, certified financial planner from
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. I graduated from Michigan in 2001 with an econ degree and founded Peak Wealth Management in 2014. And now we have over $240 million of assets under management. As a freshman in 97, winning the national championship in football and hockey didn't get any better than that. Both my wife and I lived in Bursley that year, and it's crazy because we never actually met while living in the same dorm. Probably because she had a car and I had to ride the bus. But we named our dog Bursley anyway, and he's on the payroll here at Peak Wealth Management. At Peak, we're fee-based. We're your fiduciary, which means everything we recommend is always in your best interest. We partner with leading institutional money managers, focus on low fees, and make sure every client has a financial plan covering retirement, college, tax, estate, insurance, and cash flow. Simply put, we are
Peak Wealth Management,
your comprehensive financial coach. Book your second opinion at peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle, whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion. UGP is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing down people to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out the order. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security. Performance.
Conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let Human Elements show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
If you want to see where our post-game podcast happens, or if you need a spot to land in Ann Arbor, check out 4M, Prentice Partners' beautiful brand-new flagship property at 830 Henry Street in Lower Burns Park and across the bridge from the Big House. Their 11 spacious 6-bedroom, 6-bath suites feature state-of-the-art digital capabilities and are laid out for comfortable, efficient collaboration. You can also rent a 4M unit for shorter stays, say if you want to come to town for a football weekend. I want to add myself that they're also taking over Lucky's. We're really excited about their plans for that space. So if you're by the stadium, swing by 830 Henry or visit Prentice4M.com.
Here's a thing people say. Seth, tell me about your insurance.
I'm actually glad you asked me about that because I just changed my insurance and I'm really happy I did.
Let me guess, you use Phil Klein and Owen Rosen of the Phil Klein Insurance Group.
They are MGO blog readers and they don't advertise during football games.
And they've got a 5-star rating on anything you would care to see. Call Owen at 248-682-7445 or visit them online at philklineinsurance.com.
I need hot takes from you. I need takes hotter than Miami. I guess it was rather cool and pleasant. I don't know.
They don't have to be that.
We are in off-season form, my friend.
Look, it's the off-season. It's the off-season.
Yeah.
He's earned it. He's earned it.
Seth, give me your hottest take.
They should have stuck with Cade.
Whoa.
Jeez, that is really hot.
Wow. Because, I mean, they weren't coming back. And, you know, you want Cade to go into the season believing he's QB number one. Because when he gets passed by J.J. McCarthy, you're going to need that backup next year. So keep him convinced that he's our guy. And, you know, you got a future with this team.
Well, I mean, I think you could argue that the best way to keep Cade on campus was to not expose him to more of that goddamn defense.
Yeah. That would have been it.
True.
Take him out earlier, and he still thinks he can do it. And then he's like got a gripe about it. Yeah, that's true.
Just like maybe he's just watching JJ out there and being like, yep, that's good. Go for it.
Yeah. Have fun. Have at it.
Enjoy it, son.
Randy, give me your hottest take.
Don't worry about David Ojabo going to the league because Derek Moore is going to start next year and have 5.5 sacks and 8 tackles for loss.
Wow, nice.
Wow, that's because he had a breakout whichever game it was. Who cares?
Under Armour.
I just combined them all into Under Army game.
Under Army game.
Underground printing All-America game, folks.
It was the Underground Printing Tailhook Convention Credit Union call. He did great, and I think, you know, people are saying he can gain some weight and play on the interior, but we have enough interior guys now. We don't need him to – we just need him to stay at his weight and do what – you know, did Ojabo have, like, one tackle for loss before this year even started? So – I think this guy has the instincts to be great, and in this system, let him go. We've seen other freshmen step up this year. I'm excited.
All right. I mean, I usually think that defensive ends, like year two, is probably the most realistic takeoff point. But he could definitely be a contributor, but still a big step down from Ojabo, because that's half of Ojabo's sack total, 5.5.
I know. So. I didn't say he'd beat Ojabo's sack total, but I think that's a good entree into. I think this system allows a guy like that to, you know, to use the best of his skills. So I'm going to optimistically say this guy's going to step in and be a contributor and potential difference maker next year.
All right,
Jason, give me your hottest take.
Michigan will be ranked number one next year in terms of backup quarterback Hayden McNamara.
Wait, what?
We'll have the
number one backup quarterback in America.
Okay. Well, so, that's
look.
I get ahead of ourselves.
I'm not getting ahead of myself. That you asked for a hot take. That's
all right.
And make it. But I mean, I obviously Cade McNamara got them through the season, got them a win over Ohio State, was a wonderful game manager, and had some good games where he rose above that, and he is a winner. But I mean, what are we talking about here? We saw the glimpses. At some point, you gotta bring this other guy in and see what he can do. I mean, I think offense next year is going to be the way we win games. We're going to win like crazy shootouts next year. I think that's what it's going to look like. Our offense is going to have to produce if we want to come back to where we were this year, next year. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, you keep the competition open probably until, I don't know, October.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let me be clear. I don't think that's going to happen right away, but I think you might start to see like more of an evening of the amount of time played, and then maybe it flips, like sort of flip the script from this year, next year, and Cade will have time to play, and he'll definitely get reps, and maybe, you know, when he graduates the next year, he's like, I want to go somewhere and be the starter. But by that time, JJ will be fully ready.
Yeah.
My hot take is tacos cannot be great.
You're so wrong.
You're talking about Charlton. What about Taco Charlton?
No, well, Taco. I mean, he was very good.
How about Taco Fall?
Very good. Tacos have a high floor as well. The worst taco I've ever had was pretty good.
So I'm gonna take you next time you're out here. I'm taking you to La Super Rica.
Okay,
This is a taco joint in Santa Barbara. And I remember going there at 10 in the morning for lunch. There was a 1-hour wait standing two people in front of me was, may he rest in peace, Rick Majerus. Now, when Rick Majerus is willing to wait an hour for a taco, you know that's a good taco.
All right. Well, I went to two of the most heavily hyped taco places in Miami, and they were good. They didn't blow my mind, but they were good. They were very good.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And so it's just like, I feel like they're like a taco is always going to be pretty good, but it cannot transcend and become.
I think the talent gap.
Food.
I think the talent gap between the very two best taco places in this country and the rest of the taco places is too great to overcome. You can think that you have a great taco and be hyped that you have a great taco, and everybody.
So you had a second tier. You had a second tier taco, Brian.
You had a taco that everyone hyped to be great, and then you had it, and you're like, "We still have a long way to go with this taco."
Right. Yeah. So right? I think what you're saying is that tacos are like an Alabama and Georgia situation.
Yes.
Correct. That's so what I was alluding to.
The college football teams though can get really bad. Like the low end, the bottom end of tacos is Taco Bell, right?
They're
taking literally the worst ingredients possible and making something that's
Taco Bell's all right. It's
decent to taste. Yeah, but I'm saying that's the floor.
That's the worst a taco could be.
Yeah, it's the worst food could be.
There's a Taco Bell hotel. There's a Taco Bell hotel in Palm Springs. Is all I'm saying. There are some tacos that look like they're going to be great, and then they completely fall apart at the end. That's the Nebraska of tacos.
You got laughs from that one front.
Yeah,
laughs from the back of the room, Rand. Nice.
Thank
work.
You. Appreciate that. Got a little frosty up in here.
Sorry, I have a 3-year-old who's trying to crawl on me because they're not in school today because of COVID.
Right.
Facts.
So. All right, if you would like more Sklar Brothers, hit up the Patreon, hit up Patreon, whatever it is, Patreon, both, do both, hit up both of those, and hit up their podcast view from the cheap seats, and leave your hot takes in the comments of their podcasts.
Thank you, boys. This has been a beautiful season. So much fun. Let's do it again next year.
Thanks to Sklar Brothers for a scintillating year of predictions. Of course, the second best hot take of all time was Randy's Andrew Anthony take. Immediately before the Michigan State game, but hopefully they can be accurate and positive going forward. Always a difficulty. Anyway, so season's over. Michigan is now looking at what next year looks like. So we'll take a couple segments here. We'll look at the offense and the defense for 2022. Offense, I mean, we talked about McCarthy versus McNamara as sort of a hinge point for what this offense is going to be like. Obviously, you hope to have both those guys return. That looks like it'll be at least a pretty good quarterback situation, if not a very good quarterback situation. At running back, Hassan Haskins is gone. He's signed up for the Senior Bowl. He'll be in the NFL next year. So you have Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum as a 1-2 punch. And maybe you'll have a couple of other guys chip in a little bit. But that seems like, I mean, you don't really have a bruiser in that. Set up maybe Kavier Dunlap can provide that, be sort of a short yardage back, but in terms of like explosiveness, receiving out of the backfield, just pure dynamism, I don't think that there are going to be many better backfields in the country.
Sure, and I think that that's really going to open up a lot of the things that Gattis came here to do. I know, like, we.
Let's not. It's not going to happen.
I mean, we've been saying it's not going to happen, but the second he got Donovan Edwards, it happened, right? Like we saw the things that they were doing, and they lost both of those guys for a chunk of the season. But when Corum was out there, they were running that stuff too. So, I considering all the, and we're going to get into the receiver and stuff too. But like, you're going to have a lot more. I know we've said it every year, but like I believe it now. Now that they've actually seen how it works with Diamond Edwards, and it worked. You know, as long as they're not playing N'Kobe Dean, we're going to be seeing a lot of passes to the running backs. And I don't know if they need a bruiser, because Corum really is pretty good at kind of getting yards after contact, right? Like he does it in the Mike Hart way, but he's going to get a little bit stronger this year. And he's, you know, in his draft year, he's going to probably have a breakout season.
Well, if you can get, I mean, he's already nearly 1,000 yard back. So,
right. right, sure. I mean, Theismann campaign, possibly. I mean, it's...
Maybe.
Especially if...
I mean, he's going to be... Yeah. I think that he's going to split time. To be a Heisman running back, you have to be like the workhorse who gets like 25 carries a game. I don't think you want to give Blake Corum 25 carries a game.
No, but 25 touches a game.
No, that's...
I mean, between his kick returns and receptions...
Yeah, like, but 25 you're not really going to need to do that, though. So you want to... I mean, you'll have Edwards. Edwards is going to be an interesting piece to play with. And, yeah, I think you can really build some offense around those guys, especially if it's JJ, because JJ gives you that read option look, and then you get a lot more kind of one-on-one in space with those guys, and that's going to be, I think, something to look out for. Tight end, just running back, Eric Alm, Luke Schoonmaker, both back. You might see a third guy poke his nose through. I mean, you're losing Joel Honigford as a blocking tight end, but Michigan will just put Trent A. Jones or whoever out there. So that looks like it could be a very good situation. Both those guys had, I think, good 2021s, and all for a couple of games in the middle of the season there really looked like he was rounding into sort of a Mackey threat, because he was getting targeted a ton, bringing a lot of throws in. And then offensive line, you're looking at Michigan replacing Vistardis with a Remington finalist whose name I will not attempt to pronounce just yet.
Vic,
but they picked
Vic.
Up,
just call him Vic.
They picked up the Virginia transfer. If Bronco Mendenhall could retire every year, that would really help Michigan's offensive line room, because they got Andrew Gentry coming in, who originally committed to Mendenhall at Virginia. He's not going to be a factor next year, but he's 6'8" and should be impressive specimen down the road. And then I don't know if Michigan's losing anyone else from the line.
They're waiting to hear from Stuber, I think.
Hypothetically, Stuber could go to the league. I think he'd get drafted. But if he wants to come back, he could definitely do that. So you're probably upgrading at center and then bringing everybody else back. I think that looks like a situation that's going to be excellent. And like, yeah, they didn't do so hot against Georgia, but the rest of the year, they're probably one of the best offensive lines in the country. Like, if you look at sack rate, if you look at line yards, like, they were better pass pro than they were at moving people. They're not maulers, but maybe they'll get a little bit more of that next year.
Yeah, and I mean, Zach Zinner was kind of taking off the end of the season. Remember, he is a second-year player this year. So, I mean, that guy is going to be... He could be All Big Ten easily next year, maybe All American. I mean, he's not even at the part of his career yet where you expect an offensive lineman to be really good.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about Trevor Keegan. Also, both those guys missed a lot of time. So Carson Barhart got time. Chuck Filiunga got time. So they'll have six guys back who had meaningful snaps. And Trent A. Jones got in a little bit. So looks like a really good situation on the offensive line. And it's really just like, are any of these guys all Americans? Because they're probably all going to be all conference-ish, but are they going to get a Jake Long out of it?
I mean, Ryan Hayes this year still looked a little bit kind of spindly. I think he had some sort of medical thing that that prevented him from gaining weight in the offseason. So there is a chance that he could break out, because this season was not... He looked great at the beginning of the year, and then he was kind of tailed off. But yeah, I mean, in the middle of that line could be just absolutely maulers. Stuber is a great player if he comes back. And they've got a lot of young guys who, like, this year they probably were not going to be ready, but next year, like Barnhart and Jones you mentioned, Jeffrey Percy might be ready to go. He came in this year a little bit. Greg Crippen played. Redis Atterbury played. All these guys kind of gritted out positively in garbage time, which is garbage time, obviously, but that was... Uh-huh. I mean, there are shark teeth, and if you return everybody from last year, you're going to have, I don't know if Filiunga wants to come back too, but like, that's one of the best six men in the country. So you have a lot of depth in addition to just a great starting five.
Yeah, similar situation at wide receiver, where Michigan loses nobody, gets Ronnie Bell back off an injury, you know, you might see a transfer because it's suddenly a pretty crowded room, but between Bell, Cornelius Johnson, Andrew Anthony, Roman Wilson, AJ Henning, Mike Sainer, still Daylon Baldwin, that is a ton of targets who are all relatively established. Like, Baldwin's probably the guy who's the least established, and like, add Ronnie Bell to this receiving core, give Andrew Anthony another season to not be a freshman, and this could be one of the best wide receiver groups in the league. Like, there's a lot of talent on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, you even mentioned Cornelius Johnson, who was like the starter this year, right?
So I did mention Cornelius.
Well, I mean, the ceilings on all these guys are so high that I mean, you can just kill him with speed with Johnson and Wilson. I mean, Baldwin is not that established, but he actually got, I think, the second most snaps of anybody on the team this year. You just didn't see him very much out there, but he was a pretty plus blocker. So, I mean, he still has a role, too. I don't know if he wants to stick around for that role, but this is going to be like a ridiculous group. And, you know, we mentioned J.J. McCarthy instead of McCade next year. That kind of opens up things, too, because he's going to want to rocket it downfield. He's going to want to, you know, escape from pressure, run around, and then it's just a question of how long can you cover these guys, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean this really has the potential to be one of the best offenses in the country next year. And Michigan doesn't really go out and crush people on offense under Harbaugh. I think this might have been one of their best years statistically, like in the fancy stats, and they were still like 15th or something. So they've never really historically been just a team that just lights people up. But if they were so inclined, next year might be a good shot at it.
Yeah, this is the year they've kind of been building to. You know, they had to replace the offensive line. They had to, you know, get that generation through, and then they had another young generation to kind of bring up. So now the offensive line is there. You have two really dynamic running backs. You have, the floor is Cade McNamara, but like, you have a very high ceiling with J.J. McCarthy, who's going to be in his sophomore year. You got the tight ends. Eric Hall is a very underrated player. You mentioned there's a Mackey candidate because of how he catches, but like, he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the country, and certainly the best blocking tight end in the conference this year. And you know, he missed a little bit of time, but I mean, that was what Michigan was running their offense behind, was his blocking. So you have a lot of ways that, and then like the receiving, and like this is what they've been building to. Like, they were all young this year. This is the building year, and like, that's kind of what they've been focusing on, is like, let's get to 2022 when all these weapons are going to be old enough to be usable. So, I mean, if one of them doesn't pop off, there's two more guys behind it to work out, right? Like, you know, we don't get a great season out of Cornelius Johnson, well, Andrew Anthony's going to come up. Like, it's hard to see them not performing very well this year.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and glance at the defense.
Under name, image, and likeness group licensing agreements, college athletes can now earn money. Still, the indirect consequence has many athletes chasing money, losing valuable study time for classes, practices, and games. As a group sponsor, you can offer a minimum of $100 in a one-time payment, or $20 or more per month on your credit card. Monthly payments by supporters, alumni, and season ticket holders of $20 or more will help athletes tremendously. Being a student athlete is not easy. It's hard. And until now, athletes were not allowed to work to make extra money while on a scholarship. On TeamFanClub.com, sponsors can make it easier for their favorite team or coach with a simple commitment to a group licensing agreement. Group licensing benefits all scholarship players, not just the starters. It provides fairness for all athletes who practice and train together for games. It provides security for players to stay at your school and not go into the transfer portal. Support student athletes today and sponsor a team at TeamFanClub.com.
The only thing we can be sure of about the future is that it will be absolutely fantastic. I'm thinking of the incredible breakthrough made possible by developments in communications.
Arthur C. Clarke's 1964 vision is now reality with SignalWire, a cloud platform that enables developers to build the applications that will reshape the future of communications.
These things will make possible a world in which we can be in instant contact with each other wherever we may be.
You can add cutting-edge, real-time video and audio to any product, website, or application with APIs and SDKs for developers of all skill sets. SignalWire is optimized for high-quality and low-latency communication functionality, for video, voice, and text messaging capabilities.
Almost any skill could be made independent of distance. Men will no longer commute. They will communicate.
See for yourself at SignalWire.com. Use code 2021 and receive $25 in developer credit. Go to SignalWire.com.
SignalWire Communications OGs, original geeks of programmable communication.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting U of M apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
During these challenging times, it is important to have a Michigan man in your corner. If you or someone in your life has questions, concerns, or just want to discuss your legal rights, give Attorney Jonathan Paul a call at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, MichiganLawGrad.com. John asks you all to be safe. We're going to get through this together. And as always, go blue.
All of the time, you gotta be all of the time. You need to be all of the time. You gotta be all of the time.
With the offense, except there are two extremely large losses. So David Ojabo has already declared for the draft. We're probably mere days away from Aiden Hutchinson doing the same thing. Hutchinson hypothetically has a COVID year if he wants it, but he's
going to be tough.
Crazy to take it. Brad Hawkins has exhausted his eligibility and will be out the door. And then the only other seniors who played at all were Donovan Jeter and Josh Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And one or both could come back if they want to. Those guys both have COVID years available to them. And I don't know what their thought processes are, but everybody else on the defense comes back. Now, losing both defensive ends is a giant problem.
Yes.
Because those defensive ends were the best combo in the country by a mile. But you did see some guys poking through. You got some good snaps from Jalen Harrell. You got some good snaps from Mike Morris. You know, I don't know if I see either of those guys being the sort of like edge terror. Like Harrell was supposed to be sort of an Uche type, but I just don't see that from him. And Morris is definitely more of a Wormley SDE sort of guy. So you're going to have to get either Braden McGregor having a ridiculous breakout year, or maybe Tyler Upshaw coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Upshaw's
the guy that they've been using, right? He's the guy that they trust, yeah. But like we've never seen anything. It's such a drop off every time he goes on the field in pass rush and in run stopping. Like even like Ojabo passed him as a run stopper too, which was like, you know, Ojabo is a great player and he's going to do well in the NFL, but you know, that did not look good for Upshaw's, but he's the only one really who is kind of turning out worse than we thought he was going to be. Like Morris is kind of a surprise. I
mean, it's not like there's going to be guys who aren't at least replacement level players, but just this defense was built around these two incredible defensive ends, and it doesn't look like there's going to be anyone who's going to be able to step into those shoes. So where are you going to get improvement from to maintain at this level? I think defensive tackle is a good spot for that.
Mm-hmm.
Get Hinton and Mozzie Smith back. You have all the backups back. You have guys like Jenkins and Rashawn Benny who might be coming through, maybe Welshoff. Like, they should have a lot of bodies there. They should have some pretty high quality ones. And, you know, towards the end of the season, we saw them when Hinton and Smith were out there, Michigan was able to hold down even very good opposing rush defenses, offenses for the most part. So feels like they could get some of that back, but neither of those guys was much of a pass rusher this year, and they're going to need something from that position because they're not going to get it from them, at least not as much of it from the end.
Yeah, they got a little bit more from Mozzie Smith in particular in the pass rush near the end of the season, but Chris Jenkins also started popping at the end of the year, and next year was supposed to be the first year when, remember, he came with like no butt. He was like 230 pounds or something when we got him. So next year was supposed to be the takeoff point. No one imagined he was going to be that much of an impact player this season. So I think that gives you at least three guys on the interior, and Jenkins has some pass rush potential for certain. The rest of it, I mean, you're going to have to recreate the ends in the aggregate. You're going to have more blitzes, more interesting blitzes. You're going to have to bring the safeties down and get them more involved, bring the nickel more often, and not have... Your defense can't just sit there and say, okay, we're going to win this edge, or they're going to run away from this edge so we don't have to worry about it. You're going to have to put your coverage in tougher situations, and that's kind of what they've been recruiting towards. You know, they're not... This year, they kind of left four guys back, five guys back all the time. They would bring Dax, especially against Georgia. They brought him a lot more than I remember them using him, but they... I don't know. They're going to have to... use guys in pressure situations that they hadn't used him as much before. Junior Colson is one spot where you're going to get a lot of growth. I know we haven't gotten the linebackers yet, but just as a pass rusher, he was excellent this year. He just didn't get a whole lot of opportunities to do that. So, I mean, you can access some of that.
Yeah. Well, the linebacker level should return intact depending on what Josh Ross decides to do. I mean, this year it was largely Hill Green early, and then Colson took over late. You had Michael Barrett pop up as kind of a Viper type in a couple of games. Obviously, getting Colson to a point where he's running in the right direction most of the time will be very helpful.
Yeah, he was kind of thrown in the fire this year, and I finally gave him a sign at the end because he was a freshman, and he came in. We knew that he was going to be, because he didn't play football as long as other guys did. You know, he played at Ravenwood, but it didn't have to. They didn't run anything very complex for him. And throwing him into the middle of a Mike McDonald defense, where linebacker is the hardest position on the field, I mean, that was they gave him more, and he screwed up a lot. But he was a true freshman. He's got the biggest, I don't know, growth potential of anybody on the team, probably.
Yeah, and then probably Hill Green or Ross at the other spot, with Barrett hopefully returning to find a little more playing time as Michigan gets a little bit more diverse in the back seven.
Yeah, they could see some other guys come through. I know Kalel Mullings was a guy that he played a little bit earlier this season. They used him when Ross got injured, and he seemed to be okay. You know, they try to stick to a pretty small... They didn't want to pull Ross, right? Because Ross was the adult in that group who was telling Junior Colson where to go, and they didn't want to lose Colson because, you know, every snap for that guy was going to be gold. And they had to work in Hill Green because turns out he's a good player. But they have some depth. If they do lose Ross, Mullings is a guy I kind of expect to see a little bit more of. Jaden Hood also looked looked good in his like limited opportunities. I think that, like, no, those guys are true freshmen, Mullings was a redshirt freshman, but basically a freshman just because of the way, you know, he was coming from pretty raw, too. They have some growth potential in that level, and one of the dark secrets of this year is Ross is not that good of a player, you know, especially in his, you know, Michigan made things rough on him, and I tried to, like, keep that in mind all the time, but you know, he was not a good coverage linebacker. He was best when he was blitzing, but they couldn't really use him as a blitzer because, you know, they had to have somebody out there who knew what he was doing in coverage, and a lot of times he didn't, and that's kind of where Michigan got gashed the most this season, was throwing the ball over Josh Ross, or he didn't chip somebody. He just, I think he felt like he was responsible for so much around him that, you know, things just got laid away. Things just, he missed some things. And if he comes back, or if he doesn't, that's an area that's got to improve, because that was kind of the soft underbelly of the defense this year.
Yeah, and then the secondary, I should mention that we don't expect Dax Hill will return.
Right.
So Michigan has to replace both starting safeties. Obviously, one of those is going to be Rod Moore. And then based on playing time earlier this year, you probably think R.J. Moten has the inside track there to the other starting spot. You know, losing those two guys is going to be difficult, especially because Hawkins was super experienced and Dax Hill's a five-star. So, you know, that I think you might be looking at a little bit of a downgrade there. Hawkins wasn't an all-world player, but you know, he's very reliable.
Yeah.
Not a guy who probably is going to get drafted, but definitely a guy who, you know, when he came back for a six-year, like, okay, that's a relief.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they didn't use Makari Page very much this year. And so like, all we have from him is a little bit of film from his first game as a freshman. Jordan Morant didn't play very much this year either. I think between the two of them, they have like 25 snaps or something between those guys. So I almost think that the true freshmen are going to be your... someone's going to have to play. Someone out of that group's going to have to play because they like to play with three or four safeties, and you can't keep everybody healthy for a whole season. So, you know, Rod Moore is going to be back there. R.J. Moten's going to be back there. You're still going to need a third or somebody who's playing nickel, and I think that the... reason that they got some of the guys they got, the reason I think that Zeke Berry came to Michigan, the reason that, looking at his name, Keon Sapp, like those guys, they're both, I think, enrolling early. So you're going to see whether or not they can do that. And that, you know, Barrett can play some more of that Viper role if they need him to, which does kind of take some of the things off of what they had Dax Hill doing. But, you know, that's where we talked about getting the talent into the secondary, getting that ability into the secondary. Part of that is this new blood, right? Is like having guys like Zeke Berry out there who will give the opportunity to play someone who just, he takes away too many things from that an offense can do, the way that Dax did.
Yeah, throwing a true freshman into the fire, though, is a little bit of a difficult spot. At cornerback, Michigan should get all their players back, although there are some heavy rumors that Vincent Gray might play for the draft, which would be unusual. DJ Turner should be back. The Green brothers will be back. Darren Green Warren entered the portal, but he was a cornerback who the top line was on him was is slow.
and didn't play behind, like, They were throwing walk-ons out there. They were trying, like, the walk-on that they grabbed from the track team was out there first. So, yeah, this is the infusion of talent spot. I think Vincent Gray to the NFL might be one of those things where, like, yep, I kind of know that Will Johnson's going to be taking my job next year. He's certainly not going to be taking DJ Turner's job because Turner was excellent this year. He belongs. I mean, he's going to be one of those good ones. He's going to go in the NFL. I know it took a little while to get him up to that level, but every time I was charting him, he was great. And I'm guessing when I get through the Georgia tape, there's not going to be anything else on him because I don't remember anything. I don't remember him ever giving up anything. You know, there were limitations that they had to deal with, especially with Vincent Gray, and I think that those are off the table. And I think cornerback is a role that, especially that job, true freshman can play it, right? It's just whether you have it or you don't.
Yeah, and of course, Will Johnson comes in as a five-star, and cornerback is a place where you can just drop your five-star in the lineup and go, right? Yeah. So, honestly, like, it was really nice when we had that run of David Long and Jordan Lewis and Levert Hill, and you just had NFL talent at the position. Michigan did not recruit like that. So you kind of had this interregnum here where, like, Gray's probably not an NFL guy. DJ Turner might be if he continues on this path, but you know, he was a guy who didn't get the offers that you would hope that your cornerbacks get. So getting back to having just an all world dude on your island is excellent. Yeah. I can't overstate how excellent it is.
Well, yeah, and DJ Turner is probably more of a boundary cornerback. He's not your super speed guy. Jaden McBurrow's actually flashed a little bit late this year too. I mean, he was the guy that they put on the field ahead of, you know, a long list of players who I don't think we're going to see again, who are still on the roster. And you know, Miles Pollard's a guy who's very polished for what he is. He's maybe not the fastest guy again, but no, he's not. Well, he's not a dude that people are like, okay, that guy's slow. And Cody Jones is another one where, like, that's the kind of talent you can put out in the field and get away with some things that freshmen do because they just have the speed to make it up. So they were getting a huge infusion of NFL talent. Jaden McBurrow might be one of those guys, too. I don't think that if Vincent Gray leaves, I think it's because he looked around and read the room. I don't think that it's a, oh, no, we're losing this, you know. No offense to Vincent Gray, but like he was the guy that the rest of the defense kind of had to cover for, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. but I mean, if they can find any sort of production from defensive end, I think they're gonna maybe not be a great defense, but a good enough one opposite what looks like a offense that should be the best in the Harbaugh era. And then you're kind of back at this spot that you were this year, where you're clearly better than everybody you're playing except one or two teams. You might have a hiccup because everybody has a hiccup. Mm-hmm. And then you're probably playing Ohio State for a division championship in November, right?
I mean, that's kind of what they were building towards. That was the best case scenario going when we looked at 2021. We went into the season. It was supposed to be like, you know, the rebuilding year, let's get to 7-5 or 8 wins or something like that, and then next year we'll see what we've got. Because, you know, okay, you lose Hutchinson, but you can recreate pass rush in the aggregate, and you know who makes that, like, who demonstrates that better than anybody is the Baltimore Ravens, is Mike McDonald's own team. The whole system was based off of, let's stop spending money on defensive ends like everybody else is doing, because that's getting too expensive. And they put their cap space into the secondary, and then they found smart linebackers that other people underrated, but they wanted smart guys who were really fast, who could move. And with that amoeba thing, like they don't generate pass rush the way that, like, you know, you send an Uche off the line all the time. They normally will do it just by pressing, and that the defensive tackles are pushing their guys back, and the defensive ends are pushing their guys back. So you can get away with a Mike Morris. I mean, again, go back to the Ravens. They were using Chris Wormley in that exact job, right? So, I mean, that is the way that I think that they mean to play defense. I'm sure that they want to get some dangerous edge rushers. They hopefully could get a guy like Jalen Harrell to pop, or Brayden McGregor to kind of show more of the Aiden Hutchinson-ness that he had. They would love that, I'm sure. It's great when you can get that kind of dynamism out of a certain player. But if you wanted to have a defense that knows how to play without that, we kind of already have that defense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. Well, it was a football season that ended in disappointment, but had a lot of triumph along the way.
And I don't know. Like, I guess going to Miami and feeling it and, like, having, you know, You're more, I don't know, you've had more of it come at your way than I have, but I am so happy about this team. I not just, like, the future and where they're heading, but, like, it was bad. I mean, people were not believing. People were not buying the preview book. People were not really wanting to talk about football. And, I mean, Michigan is... You see that winged helmet out there, and you're like, yeah, I'm feeling good right now. Like, this is... And it's funny how bad we thought they were going to be and how this was the team that did it. Like, that glow is not finished for me, and it's not going to end.
All All right, we're leaving this in. I have a crying child. I have to leave now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the MGO podcast. I'm Seth Fisher along with Brian Cook. We're going back next year!
Who's got it better than